Welcome to The Outlet, an OTG production.
Welcome to a special NBA Finals preview edition of the NBA Outlet. I am Parth Garadia. John Ayala's here. Nick Fay's here. What's going on, guys?
Yo, what is going on? Excited for the big game tomorrow, man.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped for the finals. I feel like it's going to be a great series, and I'm happy to get the rematch.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm disappointed the Thunder didn't pull through in Game 7, but what we're in for are some fantastic storylines coming into this finals. I want to know what your favorite storyline is.
So my favorite storyline, there's been a lot of talk about, I guess LeBron versus Steph Curry. So that's my favorite storyline. I mean, Steph Curry's, he's a tough guy. He's not really one to instigate anything, and LeBron kind of shies away from it as well. So I don't think we'll see anything serious, but I think just the idea of, you know, LeBron is, you know, some, I think most people would actually say that he's no longer the best in the world. Some still think he is, but, you know, without a doubt, he had that throne for a good, probably, you know, basically since the end, or since Kobe started to really decline. And now Steph is looking to maybe take that from him. So I think it's going to be an interesting battle, even though they won't be really guarding each other too often. But that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, I feel like that's a great pick right there, John. LeBron, I think, feels disrespected this season. A lot of people have said they thought Steph Curry is the best player in the NBA, and LeBron's not really getting a lot of love. So I'm expecting him to really turn it up this year. And, I mean, remembered how he played last year in the finals. So for me, the best storyline is going to be the rematch. Just, you know, it's going to be a healthy Cavs team playing the Warriors full strength. What we wanted to see last year, we're going to get it. And it should be a great series.
Yeah, in a sense, it's not even a rematch just because Cleveland was so injury-riddled last season getting into the finals. Like, it'll be completely different. And I don't even think you can take away anything from the two games they've played this season as to how this finals will play out.
Yeah, I think the Cavs are a completely different team, especially since they started to start Tristan Thompson. So, like you said, it's not even going to be a rematch if you look at who the Cavs had to start a majority of the games last year in the finals.
Yeah, my favorite storyline is just the narrative that we all know LeBron has been compared to MJ his entire career. And now, in addition to the rematch between the two teams, Steph Curry's Warriors did surpass Jordan's Bulls from 95-96 in terms of their win totals for the regular season. And what better way to end that little fairy tale magical season than LeBron James stepping on Golden State's throat? I love the fact that he gets the chance to take away that magical season from the Warriors, and Michael Jordan is lying in the background there as well. I think it's a perfect full circle sort of narrative for this series.
So I wanted to ask you guys something. Do you guys think, because for me, it kind of holds more value than a normal championship would, but because the Cavs are facing, you know, obviously like you just said, a team that has the best record of an entire regular season in the history of the NBA, do you think if the Cavs were to win that, you know, this title would hold more weight than any other title? Like, do you think, you know, people would kind of look at it and say, yeah, he only has three championships compared to Jordan, who has six, blah, 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 but he did beat, you know, arguably the best regular season team in the history of the NBA. Do you guys think that has more weight?
Yeah, I think it definitely carries some weight. I mean, you consider this team, a lot of people say this is one of the best teams ever. So beating this team in the finals would be huge for LeBron. And, I mean, I don't think it's going to, like, put him over the top or anything, but it's still, like, a nice – it has some value to him. And nobody can say it was an easy win in the finals or there wasn't competitive teams for sure. So,
yeah, I'm with – I don't know if it's worth more, but I think – just the fact that he left Miami to go back to Cleveland to win one for Cleveland kind of put him out of the running to chase MJ's six rings or get into that whole chase kind of mentality that Kobe Bryant got into. I know Brian Windhorst was kind of mentioning this on Rachel Nichols' The Jump, and I agree with him. I think winning one for Cleveland would only enhance his legacy. Like, he would retire and his legacy is secure if he gets one for Cleveland. I think for him to do it would be great. I hope he gets it done this year, just so he can come back to Miami. Leave Cleveland. Get them the ring. Get them the trophy. Leave. Come back to Miami. We miss you. But we all, as we all know, the series isn't always won by the best player on either team. Sometimes you need those others to step up, those role players. Which role player for each team do you think steps up and makes a big impact in this series?
My key player is J.R. Smith, because I feel like you're going to see a lot of J.R. played I'm totally blanking right now. Oh, Toronto. You know, J.R. was guarding a lot of DeMar DeRozan. And he's really stepped up his defense this year. He's always had the capabilities. It's just a matter of him, you know, putting forth the effort every night, because he's long. He's extremely athletic. And I think he's got to get – you'll probably see him guarding Steph a little bit. You know, he guarded Kyle Korver a lot in that Hawks series. You know, he's not afraid to guard these guys who like to run around. Obviously, Steph is a completely different animal than Korver, but I think he's a key player. And when he can get hot, it makes Cleveland just that much more dangerous, because when he's on the floor and he's really hitting, you know, everybody knows that he can hit, you know, 5-6 shots in a row. And then you obviously have LeBron. You might have Kyrie on the floor. You might have Kevin Love. So he's my key player in that sense.
Yeah, that's a good choice right there. I actually was going to pick JR, but I'll go with Andre Iguodala. You know, he's going to have a tough challenge in guarding LeBron, especially if they elect to start him like they did the last two games of the OKC series. I feel like he's going to have to hit the three ball and to really help that team, and he's going to have to play defense on LeBron the majority of the series.
Yeah, those are two good picks. I'm going to go with Channing Frye, just because last season – you had Andre Iguodala guarding Mozgov, and of course Mozgov guarding Andre Iguodala on the other end, and that didn't work out for Cleveland at all as small ball shifted the series. But now, not that Channing Frye can guard Andre Iguodala, but now Andre Iguodala won't just be able to lay off and just let Mozgov roll, because with Channing Frye in there, he's going to make those open threes if you give him a shot. So it changes the Warriors' defense a little bit. Cleveland will now be able to really go small when they have to, but then they'll also be able to play big with Kevin Love being able to finish in the paint. So I think Channing Frye allows Cleveland to play a different brand of basketball that they didn't get to last season.
See, if we were to go back to a storyline, I feel like another storyline is going to be, you know, the Warriors' lineup of death and whether – and you know – kind of like, are we going to see the lineup of death that really struggled against OKC, or is it going to be the lineup of death that just dominated opponents throughout the regular season? Because I kind of wonder, you know, if they were to go small, I feel like Channing Frye would have a tough time on Draymond Green. You know, Kevin Love is another big X factor for his defense, solely because if he can play great D on Draymond, it's going to allow Cleveland to stay small. Or you can try and do what OKC did and just play, you know, play big. And try and beat him with the rebounding, but I kind of worry. You know, you made it sound like you think they're going to be good going small. I kind of think they're going to have a tough time going small against Golden State.
It's not necessarily that they'll be successful going small. I just think that having someone like Channing Frye gives you the option to go small. Let's say Cleveland is playing big and Golden State just goes on a run with their small ball. You can throw Channing Frye in there and kind of play that pace just to kind of even it out a little bit, and then go back to being big. I think going big over a seven game series could kind of tire out a smaller team, but you just have to be able to survive those spurts small ball can give you.
I think Tristan Thompson is going to have a huge impact on the series. Just his rebounding, you know, Adams was able to get a lot of boards and putbacks, and Tristan Thompson, he's a great rebounder, and it's going to put a lot of pressure on the Warriors, especially with that death lineup, because if Thompson's abusing them on the boards, they're going to have a hard time going small.
Yeah, I really wish Cleveland had another wing, because that lineup with either Thompson or Kevin Love at the five, And then you could go with, you know, like Richard Jefferson, LeBron, Shumpert, JR, Kyrie. I wish they had another wing to play besides like Richard Jefferson. I feel like that would make them really tough. I'm not confident in Shumpert. He's too inconsistent. JR's been more consistent, but still inconsistent. And then Kyrie, I don't trust his defense over an entire 48 minutes.
And I also want to say this before we move on. We mentioned Channing Frye and going small, but Channing Frye is basically a 7-footer. So it's not exactly going small. It's more going skilled, if that makes sense. Like, there's still, if they play Channing Frye at the 5 and then play Kevin Love at the 4, they have two guys who can finish around the basket. Love especially can finish. But and they also have two guys who can shoot the 3. So that just provides you with more options. I think that just having the options gives Cleveland a better chance to win this series. They can play it to whatever style they need to.
And both those guys are good passers.
All right, so I want to put you guys in the shoes of both teams. If you are the Golden State Warriors, what do you exploit from the Cleveland Cavaliers?
So the big thing, you know, we kind of touched on a little bit about Cleveland going small and how I think that could be a problem for Cleveland because they don't have the wings and, you know, I mean, I just kind of worry about Kevin Love's defense. They might be okay on defense with Tristan Thompson, but then obviously their offense would suffer a little bit. So I think the biggest key is for Golden State, I think you got to attack – I would say attack Kevin Love. You know, make Kevin Love almost unplayable on offense, I think, you know, or on defense, you know, because he's if Draymond can have a really good series, I feel like that's going to be a big matchup is him and Kevin Love. If Draymond can have a really big series and dominate Kevin Love, I think that's going to be a big X factor for this Golden State Warriors team. I think the rest of the stuff's going to fall into place. I think Clay's going to have great games. Curry's going to have great games. But I think that's the key.
Yeah, well, I hate that Don's going first. I would have picked the same thing. I think they need to attack Kevin Love, force him in space. I mean, he had some good moments on defense in the playoffs, but we've also seen him have some bad moments. So I feel like the Warriors force a lot of switches, especially like they did against OKC. Kevin Love will probably get exploited.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I'm with you guys on that. I would say just put Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love in as many pick and rolls as you possibly can if you're on offense, if you're the Warriors. Those guys have proven that they aren't great defenders. You can hide one person. It's difficult to hide two. It'll be tough for Cleveland if Golden State does go that route, which they probably will. So it's either we're going to have to see Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving really step up their defense and understand the moment that they're in, or they're not going to be playable. So I'm with you guys on there. Kevin Love's defense is the profounding theme that we're going with. What about – let's turn the tables. What about if you are the Cleveland Cavaliers, what do you exploit of the Golden State Warriors?
Nick, you can go first this time since I feel like I'm taking all your ideas.
Thanks, Sean. I'm going to go – if I'm the Cavs, I think I can take advantage of rebounding. I've seen the OKC have an advantage on the board, so I feel like with Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson, both guys average over 10 a game. So I think they should be able to take advantage of that, work them and – force them to have to play a big. Don't allow them to play the small ball that they want to play. Make them play your style of basketball.
Yeah, that's like my immediate, you know, if you're Cleveland, that's what you got to do to win this series is win the rebounding battle. But I have a couple X factors that I think could be key going forward for Cleveland. And one is, you know, we saw when Golden State was on runs how Billy Donovan would do Hekka Azili or Hakaboga, and, you know, those guys aren't good free throw shooters. So I think that's something big that Ty Lue could do. And another one, I think this is really important for Cleveland is, you know, the first, especially we saw during those games in OKC, Curry was struggling, and all those reports were saying that he was hurt and playing at 70% or whatever. It was a bunch of BS because he came out and dominated the next three games. But
yeah, notice how you don't hear the
no one saying
talk when they win, only when they lose,
nonsense.
Right?
Yeah, it's just nonsense. But I think you got to be physical. I think with how OKC was really being really aggressive on off the ball screens. They're basically attacking Curry on screens, which a lot of times you kind of just show your body and make sure it isn't cut in front of your face and things like that. But they were basically hitting him off screens. Not enough to really get fouls, but just to make sure he felt the contact and things like that. And I think that's something really key for Cleveland, because if they're going to win, I think they really got to slow down Curry. He can't be having 30-something point games, because it just makes their offense so dangerous, because it opens it up for everybody else.
Yeah, I feel like the Cavs need to be physical with Curry and Clay. I feel like in the beginning of the OKC series, OKC was very physical with them. Robertson was all over both of them. And then they kind of eased up a little bit. And I feel like Clay and Curry were able to get a lot more three-point shots off the switches in the last two games compared to the first couple games, just because the offense was laying off a little bit. I mean, the defense was laying off just a little bit more, and they're biting a little bit more on the fakes, and that really killed OKC.
It's funny how good offense looks when shots go in, and how bad offense looks when they don't. Like, I think that was basically what happened. I don't even know if they were switching the entire series. OKC was, but Cleveland or not Cleveland, Golden State, Steph and Clay just started making shots that they normally do make. And that turned the series essentially. But for my thing that I would exploit as the Cavs, Steph Curry, you would think, is not going to guard Kyrie majority of the game. I assume Klay is going to guard Kyrie. That means J.R. Smith has to make Steph work. J.R. Smith's known to just hang around the three-point line and just jack up threes. He can't do that this series. I think he's still a really, really good athlete, and you wouldn't know it with all the three-point attempts he takes, but this dude can really get up, is strong. He's a really good athlete. I think he has to use that to his advantage. You gotta keep delivering body blows to Steph, in my opinion. Take away his legs. The shots might fall in the early part of the series, but I feel like if you can take away his legs, give him some body blows, basically post him up, make him run him off screens, just beat him up, essentially. I think towards the end of the series, those shots that he takes might not fall. And he takes difficult shots all the time, but he's just so good, he makes them. But eventually it comes to a point where his efficiency might not be the best. So I think that's what Cleveland has to do.
Yeah, JR definitely needs to attack Curry if he's on him. Just keep him busy the whole time.
Yeah, something I just had a thought. I feel like Cleveland has a lot of guys that match up well with Curry. Like, they could go with JR on Curry. They could go with, Dellavedova. Even Kyrie had some good defense on him in the finals last year before he got hurt.
Shump, man.
Shump, yeah, Shump is another one. But the key that I want to see Klay Thompson, because I feel like Cleveland, other than maybe LeBron, and I don't know how much they would want LeBron guarding Klay, because it would just crush his stamina. They really need LeBron on offense, obviously. But they, Klay has a size advantage over all of those Cleveland defenders, besides maybe Richard Jefferson. But Richard Jefferson's a little seasoned, so I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. I feel like Klay could have a big series, and people are probably expecting Steph to maybe probably get the Finals MVP because he's like the savior of basketball now, it seems like. But I think Klay could have a really big series, because I'm not confident about who Cleveland can throw at him defensively.
With all of that being said, it's time to answer the one question that actually matters. Who wins this series? I want winner and games. Number of games.
For some reason, my heart is saying I know Cleveland went six last year with Golden State, and I know Cleveland is a lot better in terms of talent on the floor, even though they're their record, I don't even know if their record was better than last year. I think it was like the same or whatever.
Similar,
yeah. I can't remember if it was better or worse. But Golden State is so much better than last year, and they were really good last year. For some reason, I like Golden State in five games, which is hard to believe because LeBron is still very good. But I just feel like that's what my gut is saying, is that Golden State is just – they're off a high – off of winning that OKC series. They're really rolling. They got their confidence back, and I feel like I just have a feeling they're going to win this series in five.
Yeah, I'm definitely not agreeing with John at all. back in the offseason, I picked the Cavs to win the finals, and I'm sticking with it. I got the Cavs in six. LeBron, finals MVP.
I'm going to – this is tough, man. Like, it's hard to pick against Golden State, but I've tried to do it all season, and one more try isn't going to kill me. I'm going to go with Cleveland in six. I still think OKC should have beat them, man. Like, they had every opportunity to do it. They basically dominated all the major statistics in that series besides the three-point differential. And I think I think Cleveland can do similar things, not the same way OKC did, for definitely not, but I think that three-point differential won't be nearly as wide. I think it'll be really close this series, and I'm going to go Cleveland in six.
So
LeBron wins a ring and returns to Miami to play with D-Wade, Melo, and CP3. Please.
I really want Cleveland to win. I'm not like I like LeBron. I'm not trying to hate on them. I just feel like seeing how Cleveland played in the Eastern Conference Finals at Toronto is really discouraging for me, because it's not going to be any easier. It's going to be a lot more difficult to win at Golden State. And I just feel like I don't know, like, they dominated the East, but the East is just so weak. I'm just not confident. When I watch Golden State, I just feel like they're, you know, the stuff that happens to them, I just feel like they're almost like a higher power is like controlling that team. Like this the stuff that happens. They're on such a roll right now for those three wins. I mean, it's hard to believe they beat two of the seven, you know, best players in the NBA three times in a row. So it's, I mean, they're a great team. I can't bet against them, and I feel like they're going to dominate the Cavs.
There you have it. John, you have Golden State in five. Nick and I both have Cleveland in six. So far this playoffs, John has been the one that's been most correct in terms of the correct team with the correct amount of games. So Golden State, sun's looking up at you guys.
But part, this is the one that matters, so we get this right.
This is the one that matters. So we hope you guys enjoy the series. Just a reminder, OTG will be doing halftime podcasts throughout all the NBA Finals games, so be sure to tune into that.
And that wraps it up for today. Thank you guys for listening.